Hey, welcome into Positive Light, where we're trying to bring a positive influence into this world and into your lives. And hi, I'm Bob Miles. And today's subject is going to be on God does not call the equipped, but he equips the called. And I want to first read out of 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 29. But God chose those whom the world considers foolish to shame those who think they are wise. And God chose the puny and the powerless to shame the high and mighty. He chose the lowly and laughable in the world's eyes, nobody, so that he would shame the somebodies. For he chose what is regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent, so that there would be no place for prideful boasting in God's presence. For it is not for man that we draw our life, but from God, as we are being joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. And now he is our God-given wisdom, our virtue, our holiness, and our redemption. And this fulfills what is written, if anyone boasts, let him only boast in all that the Lord has done. So God does equip the called. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Out of Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. And again, you may have heard the phrase, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. I'm not sure who first coined that phrase. It is the truth. The truth encourages me often when I feel inadequate to face challenges or when someone assigns me something that overwhelms me. Can you relate? Followers of Jesus have experienced this truth through the centuries from the calling of the first disciples. The disciples were ordinary people like you and me. They weren't the most highly educated, charismatic, or influential people of their day. They didn't hold their highest positions with the best pedigree or resume filled with accomplishments and awards. Jesus called the ordinary and they did extraordinary things through them. He changed the world and continues to change the world. At every stage of my journey in following Jesus, he has asked me to take on assignments for which I felt inadequate. I knew that without him, I would fail. I kept crying out to the Lord to make me confident and strong so I could tackle any challenge and wouldn't experience fear or anxiety. He answered my prayers in the most surprising way. He gave me what I needed when I needed it, not before. He gave me what I needed at each stage, but I didn't necessarily feel stronger or more confident. Now I see his wisdom is not answering my prayer. What I didn't realize then, but know now, is that my strength and confidence are in him and not myself. After many years of following him, I still am dependent upon the Lord moment by moment to give me what I need and equip me to do what he calls me to do. What I have found out is God's word is true. He calls whom he chooses and then equips them. He really does choose those who seem inadequate or weak in this world. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1, 26-29, Paul tells us to remember, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. And again, that's out of 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we are often chosen to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into the wonderful light. Out of 2 Peter 1:3 explains it is God's divine power that gives us everything we need for living a godly life through him who called us for his own glory. In Philippians 2:13, Paul reiterates that it is God who works in us to will and to act to fulfill his good purpose. Out of Romans 9:11 and 12 says that God chooses people according to his own purposes. He calls people, but not according to their good or bad works. And in Hebrews 13, Paul's benediction and final greeting offer a blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with everything good for doing his will. everything you need for accomplishing His will. He is the one who works within us what is pleasing to Him. So what is our part of this? If you are feeling weak and inadequate, ill-equipped for your assignment from God, you are in good company. All through the ages, your brothers and sisters have struggled with the same feelings. But what great hope we have. He promises to equip us with everything we need for doing His will. Everything we need within and without. First, we have to be willing to surrender ourselves to His will. Jesus said that He loves the Father and He does exactly what the Father says. We follow His example. We have to allow Him to work in us and equip us. Cooperate with Him, believe Him, listen to Him, obey Him, follow His instructions. We don't have to do these things in our own strength. He works within us by His Spirit. His is the power. He raised Jesus from the dead. His will originates with Him, and He is working within us to bring it to fruition. May the Lord Himself encourage and strengthen you today. May He remind you that you do need Him moment by moment, but it is nothing to be ashamed of. We were designed to rely on Him moment by moment throughout our lifetime. He is our very life. And from Rick Warren, he writes, "When God appoints you, He anoints you. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it." Out of 1 Thessalonians 5:24. God never asks you to do something without providing what you need to do it. Anointing, it is a sign of God's equipping you to fulfill an assignment He's given you. When He gives you an assignment, a plan, or strategy, He is going to empower you. Just as a lamp won't shine unless it's plugged in, your light won't shine unless you're plugged into your power source. You cannot fulfill the purpose you were created for apart from the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing," out of John 15:5. If you want to have God's power to work through your life, you need to understand what it means to have His anointing and keep these few things in mind. 1. When God says to do it, you can count on His anointing. Jesus' last assignment to His disciples was impossible. There was no way they could possibly take the gospel to the ends of the earth. It could only happen through His power. God will often give you an assignment that looks physically impossible, but He will make it possible. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it, out of 1 Thessalonians 5:24. And 2, God's anointing makes difficult tasks easier. Your resources are limited. Your energy is limited. Your knowledge is limited. Your wisdom is limited. Your talent is limited. God's is not. With God's anointing, you can handle things better, last longer, and go farther. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, God will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Ephesians 3:16. 3, God's anointing makes the impossible possible. If your business, marriage, health, and relationships, you're going to come up against insurmountable problems. God is the competent Father. He can handle any problems you give Him. Nothing is beyond His ability or His resources. What is impossible for people is possible with God, out of Luke 18:27. And 4, God anoints your life to bless others. Jesus came to comfort the afflicted, the brokenhearted, those who are enslaved to habits, those who don't know how to get out of debt, and those who are blind. And He anoints you to comfort others as well. Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God and the Holy Spirit, ready for action. He went through the country helping people and healing everywhere who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do all this because God was with Him, out of Acts 10:38. And 5, for every new challenge, you need fresh power from God. Anointing by the Holy Spirit cannot be stored up. You can't handle today's problems with yesterday's anointing. You certainly cannot handle the problems you're going to have tomorrow, next week, or next year with yesterday's anointing. Stay in touch with God so that He can constantly fill you with His grace, love, and power. Ask for God's anointing again. James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." So next, I want to play you a song by Tommy Walker. It's called "Praying for the Power." And here it is. Praying
Spirit, power of the living God, to fall upon us now. We're praying for the power of the Holy One, power of the Holy Spirit, power of the living God, to fall upon us now. What are we going to say? So we say, yes, oh, to your Spirit. Yes, oh, to your glory. Yes, Lord, to revival. Yes, Lord, fall upon us now. Oh, we're praying for the power of the Holy One, power of the Holy Spirit, power of the living God, to fall upon us now. We're praying for the presence of the Holy One, presence of the great physician, presence of the living God, to fall upon us now. Come on, let's shout it out. All we say, yet we believe that a season of breakthrough is about to fall.
Hey, what a great song. So Tommy Walker wrote this about that song. This song is simply a prayer asking for the power of the Holy Spirit to come to us personally and to our churches. The strongest word of this song is yes. This yes is the word of desire and surrender. Desire. Lord, we want more of who you are and what you have for us. Surrender. Lord, we are open to what the more will look like, and we are ready to let go of the things that are blocking your love and power and through our lives. So how many of us remember Lulu from the Hee Haw TV series? So Lulu Roman of Hee Haw fame was headed for disaster until Jesus saved her. Former Hee Haw star Lulu Roman spent her career making people laugh, and nobody ever suspected what she was going through before she found hope. So from the outside, Lulu Roman's role on the long-time-running, highly popular TV variety show Hee Haw looked like the epitome of success. But hiding behind her success and humor was an extremely painful past as an orphan. Drug addiction, low self-esteem, weight battles, all of the pain and problems didn't disappear once Lulu hit it big. But once she truly found Jesus, everything changed. And now the former Hee Haw star Lulu Roman shares her testimony in the hopes of inspiring others. Lulu's struggle started the day she was born in a home for unwed mothers. At the age 4, her grandmother dropped her off at an orphanage where she was raised. Despite the young age, Lulu remembers the moment in detail. You think you don't have very many memories of a childhood, but I have vivid memories of September 10th, 1950. That was the day I was dropped in an orphan's home. To make matters worse, Lulu has a thyroid dysfunction resulting in a lifetime battle with her weight. Food was a comfort, so matters only got worse. Lulu was called the fat kid and taunted with cruel songs such as Fatty Fatty 2x4, Can't Get Through the Kitchen Door. She wished for a family who would take her home, but none ever did. You stayed until you either were adopted or your parents or your family came to retrieve you. Mine never did, and I never got adopted. They didn't adopt fat kids. Lulu stayed in the orphanage until she was 18. The deep sense of rejection already poured into Lulu's life only got worse. She longed for the normal life everyone else had. You sat in your closet and you cried. You sat in the window and you watched the cars drive by. You thought, if I could just have a mama and a daddy, or a brother or a sister, or a room of my own. I never had a bicycle, never had a puppy, and never had any of those things that normal people had. She turned to her God-given talent for humor in order to cope. I learned very early on that I could use a quick wit that the Lord had given me to have people laugh with me instead of at me. It was Lulu's ability to make people laugh that caught the attention of country star and Hee Haw host Buck Owens. He got her an audition, and the Dallas girl was soon on her way to Hollywood. They put me on a big jet plane, and they flew me to Hollywood, California, took me to CBS Television Studios, and the first person I saw was Carol Burnett. I'll never forget, as long as I live, she had met me in the hall and said, "Shut your mouth, child, you're fixing to be one of us." By this point in her life, Lulu had discovered drugs. In fact, she was high at the audition. And when the show became a hit, her addiction only worsened. In fact, it lost her spot on the show for a year. During that time, she also found out she was pregnant and alone. Nope, not married. I left there very bitter, very angry, thinking that if there was a God, he certainly didn't love me because he dumped me. The news changed nothing as far as Lulu's drug habit. It only got worse. I'd gone past popping pills and smoking dope. I had needle marks in my arms. No one told me not to do drugs when I was pregnant. I was the fat girl and nobody cared, she said. As a result, Lulu's son, Damon, came into this world addicted to drugs, and it looked like there was no hope. They came and told me he was going to die. But I remember lying in the hospital bed trying to pray. But I was so mad at God that I didn't want you to have anything to do with him. Lulu recalls, the only thing I knew to say was, "Yo, dude, if you're real, I'll make a deal with you. I said, if you'll let me have my baby, then I'll straighten up and stop doing drugs, and I won't do anything except what you want me to do." After that, Lulu's doctor made it clear it was going to take a miracle to save Damon. "I can do everything I know how to possibly save this baby," he told Lulu, "but only God can do this one." And God did just that. Suddenly, Lulu got the call to head over to the hospital. At 10 days old, his condition changed drastically. The doctors unhooked the baby boy from the IVs and placed him in his mother's arms. I didn't realize until 4 years later that God healed that baby before I asked Jesus to come into my heart. On that medical record, it says, "Act of God." There is no other medical explanation, Lulu said. Now that Damon was healed, it was time to save Lulu. So God sent a special messenger as Lulu was leaving jail following a drug possession arrest. Lulu ran into Diane. She knew Diane from the orphanage, but this was not the same Diane, and their meeting was a clear case of divine intervention. She wanted to tell me about Jesus. The first thing I wanted to do was say, "Don't try to come at me with that. You grew up in the same place I did. Don't even try it," she said. "Louise, just listen to me. Let me tell you that Jesus is real. Let me tell you how he changed my life." So Lulu listened. And as skeptical as she was, she couldn't deny Diane was different. And it was a pivotal moment for Lulu. She finally found the love she'd been asking for her entire life. "Whenever I got down on my knees and gave my life to the Lord in that place, I mean instantly, he took those drugs away from me." The love of our Savior changed Lulu so completely she never returned to drugs. She never went through withdrawal. She was simply and miraculously healed. The change in Lulu was so evident that producers invited her back on Hee Haw, and before accepting, she did something she hadn't done in the past. She prayed about it. Lulu remained on the show for the rest of its run, and since then she dedicated her life to sharing her testimony of how God's amazing grace transformed her life. She's recorded gospel albums and spends a lot of time providing outreach to orphans. "I know I can't gather up a ton of those kids and adopt them and take care of them, but I can make them laugh for a little while. I can take them to great places and take their minds off of feeling sad, and that's what I want to do." Many Christians wonder what God is calling for their life. This is the question many Christians want to know but have no clue where to start to find the answer. We are drawn to the idea of knowing and pursuing our calling. That's why so many of us want to know that we're on the right path. The reason this question is so significant is because the work we do is important to God. If we know this is significant to God, then it makes sense to ask where God is calling and leading you in life. There is no better place to go than to Scripture for the answer. The Bible offers great insight into God's plan and will for His people. The Lord has a great plan for your life. Scripture tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future," out of Jeremiah 29:11. Are you ready to discover this will to advance the kingdom of God here on earth? So here are 6 ways to follow God's call in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Romans 8:14 says, "For all those who are led by God's Spirit, these are God's sons." One of the greatest gifts God offers us is the privilege of being led by the Spirit of God. As children of God, we can expect to be led by the Holy Spirit, which will provide us with the wisdom of God to make the right decision. Our ability to tap into our calling is much easier when we make decisions based on the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. This wisdom will allow us to make decisions today based on knowing what will happen tomorrow. What many people fail to realize is that you can develop a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, just like you already have with God and Jesus. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you," out of John 14:26. The Holy Spirit is not only a personal guide, but also a teacher in this life. Let go of distractions. In this world, it is easy to get distracted, but if we want to fulfill God's calling for our lives, we must refuse to be distracted, particularly by advances from the enemy. The Bible tells us, "Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you," out of 1 Timothy 4:16. When we're trying to build up things like our careers, our families, even our finances, it is easy to get sidetracked. It's important that we keep the most important things in focus so that we are not distracted. One great way to do this is by designating time for prayer and meditation daily. Before you rush out in the morning, spend time with God and pray that His will be done in your life. Discover who you are in Christ. Your purpose as a believer is to build a kingdom of God. Your role in His kingdom will require your natural gifts and talents and the talents He equips you with. As Christians, it's important to start the exploration of calling with the call to follow Jesus. The call to belong to Christ is everything. When we belong to Jesus, we're finally able to make God look glorious in our lives. This will only empower you to live a great life in Christ. There's no way you can follow God's purpose in your life if you don't know who you are in Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in you and draw you closer to Jesus. The Bible tells us that we will receive the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, and the eyes of understanding will be enlightened, out of Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. God reveals a calling only to those who accept Jesus as Savior. Knowing Him intimately will change you. So give God your best. The plan God has for your life can only be accomplished when we give the best of our time, efforts, gifts, and focus to our specific task. God brings out the best in us when we give Him our best. The Bible tells us, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:12. Just as Timothy was focused on committed to God's call and not distracted or distracted by those around him, we too should model this in our own lives. As you grow in your relationship with Christ and separate yourself from the distractions that hold you back from being related to Him, it is only natural that you will want to give God your best. Trust God's judgment. God knows what's best for your life, even when you can't understand His plan for you. This is one of the reasons why it's important to trust God's judgment. The Bible tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path, out of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trusting God needs to be the first stepping stone on your faith journey. God had a plan for you before you were even born, and His plans will always be greater and more beautiful than all your disappointments. We can follow His plan by believing that He has everything in control and that His dominion will guide us exactly where He wants us to go. And finally, discover your God's given talents. As Christians, we are called to develop the talent and gifts God has given to us. These gifts will enable us through our lives and allow us to bless others. If we want to fulfill our calling, we must develop our God-given ability. Paul told Timothy to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline, out of 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. So allow the Spirit to work through you, praying that you will be enabled to do works that will glorify God without fear and according to His plan for you. For our work as Christians must be an integral part of our participation in Christ Himself. His redemptive work is not limited to evangelism, but it encompasses everything necessary to make the world what God always intended it to be. God may be revealing your calling right now, but you may not be able to receive it because you're not paying to the signs around you. You may also be quenching the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit is trying to reveal to you. The Bible tells us, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually, out of 1 Chronicles 16:11. Prayerfully seek God and ask Him to discern His calling for your life. Ask Him to give you faith and courage to follow Him wherever He leads. This will enable you to follow God's greater call and better advance in His kingdom on earth. And remember, God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. So that brings us to the end of our episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And my closing prayer, as always, is that God blesses the journey that He has you on and that you embrace that journey that you're on with Him. And next week's episode is going to be on the Beatitudes out of Matthew. You can catch me at positivelightpodcast@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can catch my podcast, The Medical Stuff, and the new podcast, EMS 2020, anywhere you download your podcast for free. I hope everybody had a great week. God bless. We'll catch you next week.